He asks you, do you love me? Our scripture for today is from John 21. Let's read together. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. How would you feel if someone asked you so repetitively and persistently, do you love me? I wonder if a strong word could be doubt. I'm not sure if my answer is satisfactory. Chanel asked me something like this before. Do you love me? Yes, my darling. Yes, my skatabolikie. Of course I love you. Do you love me? And then, yes, you know I love you. Then a third time, then questions arise. What does she know? Did I do something wrong? Or the big one, what does she want? And then she still uses Italian flattery as a secret weapon to get what she's looking for. Yes, you don't know her like I do. Words like cappuccino, macchiato. And it works like a charm many times because I love it when she talks foreign. But I don't think this is funny at all for Peter. When he gets this question, maybe he's asking himself, why does he ask this? What does he know? Is it about what I've done? Is it about my failures, my shortcomings, my conversations, my big mouth? Even if these guys let you down, I will stand by you. I will even lay my life down for you. Hence perhaps the question, do you love me more than them or these? But the intention of Jesus is not based on what Peter deserves or does not deserve. The intention is actually rhetorical. Peter, do you know how much I love you? He asks Peter, do you love me with the Greek word agape? Do you love me like I love you? The love that goes beyond failures, past, the things Peter did. Because I look past what you deserve or don't deserve, Peter. I look past your shortcomings and brokenness and see you. Can you see it? Do we have this love relationship with each other? But Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he uses a Greek word for love, philo. Philo, what it means, friendship love or a brotherly love. I love you like a brother with limitations, with my brokenness. Maybe I love you like the Jones kids. One moment, they will lay down their life for each other. And the next moment, it's war. They'll take that life of the other. I love you like that. I love you with that brokenness. And then Jesus, may, in my own words, he asks Peter, do you remember the words, Peter, you are the rock. And on this rock I will build my church. Yes, Lord, I remember that. Peter, nothing has changed. Take care of my sheep. Go, shepherd my sheep. So two things that happens here. He confirms Peter's identity and value on the basis of love itself. That's who you are. Nothing changed. The same way I've felt about you 3 or 5 days ago, it's still the same. I love you beyond any failures or mistakes. And then, Peter, but this love cannot stay only with us. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. And that's not something new that any of the disciples heard before. Just before Peter betrayed Jesus, Jesus gave them a new command. He said, listen, love one another as I loved you. So you must love one another. By this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is the bottom line of the gospel. I love you so much that I will lay down my life for you. Go and be so loving. You can't be right with God and not right with people. It's something that's together. In a previous conversation Jesus had with his followers, one of the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, what's the most important thing for God? So Jesus uses the Jewish Shema when he answers. He says, hear, O Israel, God is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus used the example of a Samaritan. The neighbor is the one furthest from you. The one that's not like you, the one that you don't want to get involved with, you don't want that person part of you, it's not part of your culture, it's not part of your race, it's not part of that person and anyone closer than that. That's your neighbor. And this too is standing next to each other. It can't be apart. In another conversation or teaching Jesus had with his followers, he said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, so that was a practice in that context or Jewish culture, that you bring your offer to the altar to make your or to fix your relationship with God, to be right with God. He says, if you bring that gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. It's one thing. Peter, I love you. And your response to this love is to love. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So today, I want to give you two invitations. First, to receive this love. Receive it. Take it. Make it your own. We love because he first loved us. He gave this love to us. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until it rests in God. I remember when I was still a teenager, I gave my heart to God somewhere in high school, late high school. And one night at our youth conference or a youth gathering, there was a fight. There was something happening between two or three guys, and I was involved, and I want to, in our days, we called it Barney. I just want to have a Barney with this guy, and we had a fight, and the youth leader came and took me one side, and he said to me, what's happening? And I said, nothing. I just want to sort this guy out. He said, no, there's something happening inside of you. What's happening? What do you look for? What do you seek? And then in that conversation, something happened to me. There was an embrace. There was a hug, but it was not him. It was something beyond him. It was God's love I experienced for the first time in my life. I will never forget that. And that was a path for many of the people I needed to love in my life. That experience I had with God that day. And I failed badly loving people for many years. But that always brings me back to how God feels about me. Ronald Rollheiser, he says, the tears we cry when we are loved in spite of our weaknesses are very different from the tears we cry when we feel judged and humiliated by our weaknesses. When we receive it, when we taste that love, nothing can change it. And everything changes. But we can't just keep it for ourselves. We receive it, we experience it, we taste it, and then we give it away. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Share it. Go. Give it to others. Someone once said, when Jesus walks into your life, he brings his whole family with. It's not just a me and you, it's a me and us. Me, you, and us. 1 John 4:19, Jesus says, John writes, we love because he first loved us. That's the true the truth of our lives. But then he says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Jesus uses a metaphor of a king and his servants. And then the king said to his servants, thank you. Thank you for giving me clothes when I needed it. Or thank you for that you fed me when I was hungry. Or gave me something to drink when I was thirsty. Thank you. Thank you for visiting me when I was in jail or Thank you for looking after me when I was sick. Thank you for that. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is two things. That's one thing. You can't just love God. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Go and feed my sheep. Go and shepherd my sheep. Go and look after my sheep. Because the love I have for you is the love I want you to have for other people. So today, maybe you can close your eyes where you are at home or wherever it is, and just think of the person who loves you the most, or maybe just the person you love the most. God loves you at least that much. And the invitation today is to receive it anew. This is a gift of love. Receive it. Maybe you can just open your hands for a moment. A practical way to receive it. Receive this love that goes beyond any failures or mistakes, or past or transgressions. Receive it. Realize it anew. Live with it. And then share it. Share it. If we can just imagine what will happen if we can share this love we experience with God. What will happen in this broken world if we can get this right? Let's close our eyes and pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray. First of all, we thank you for loving us, giving us this indescribable, abundant love. Thank you for that. Help us, through your Spirit, to love other people the same way you love us. Help us. Pour that love into our hearts through the Spirit, but help us to take it out again, to give to a broken world. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the love of our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.